Joe Biden, by his own definition, is a racist. And this is the news, according to me. Oh, good morning. It's Friday, 9:25, into the week already, December 30th, into the year, into the week, into the month. It's the end of everything. Well, not quite. I can't get my low voice to kick in here. All week long, I've had this fuzzy kind of weird thing going on with my voice. I don't know what's going on. I'm still drinking chai. Maybe that's the problem. I'm drinking my vanilla chai with creamer, but it was the problem happened before that. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. I'll continue to try to clear my throat, but all that seems to do is just temporarily kind of gives me I can get a little bit deep. I can't get that movie trailer guy out of my throat here. It's kind of a weird situation. Anyway, so listenership is up. I don't know if the live broadcasts are helping with this or not. This is the 501st episode now of The News According to Me. And we're broadcasting on Podbean Live as well as we're also broadcasting on, it's recorded on Castos, but it should be on Spotify as well. And I'm going to be trying to work on this Rumble thing for next week. Next week, I'm going to be attempting on Monday. actually over the weekend, again, I keep saying I want to do this, but I actually do have some time this weekend. It's going to be raining here. I'm not going to be able to do much outside. So I'm going to be doing as much inside as I can. One of the things I'm going to try to do is do some Rumble transmissions. Live transmissions on Rumble to try to make things a little more efficient. There's got to be a way to put together a template. What they make you do every time, just to go through the process of setting it up each time, takes about 2 or 3 minutes. And that's if you've got everything ready to go, which I think is a little bit ridiculous. YouTube is not clunky at all. You know, you go to YouTube, they even have their own, now you have to have other software with Rumble. You have to have, I use OBS, it's free. At my office and on my laptop, I also have, on my one laptop, I also have a thing called, it's not Wirecast. I'm thinking about getting Wirecast because it works really well with Mac products. But I have something called vMix, and I have a studio set up at the office there, the studio, the main headquarters, where I can set up all kinds of templates and I can do things all the time. But even then, you have to get a different key every time you want to go live. With YouTube, then they got it down. All you have to do is go to your, go to your create thing, say go live, and it pops up. So I'm just going to click on it right now. Click on the go live thing, and all of a sudden you've got what you want to do for, and that's got a little bit different of a interface right now than it used to have. I haven't been on this thing for quite a while. I haven't tried to even do anything live on YouTube for a while. Comes up with the title of the show, the category, all that stuff, stream setup help. It's got all the stuff down below. Pop out your stream dashboard. So it's I can put the stream dashboard out on another window if I want to. It's got the key. I can look at that, the stream key as well as the URL. The whole, I can paste the, copy and paste the stream location so I can put that on Twitter and put it wherever I want to, social media, whatever I want to do with it. Send it out in emails, whatever I want to do. And it will record automatically the whole thing. I can put 360 video in there if I want to. It's just makes it work right. It's got the RTMP, all right there. It's got a backup server. It's got the mainstream server. So this is the kind of thing that I think Rumble needs to get to this point. It's not that difficult. I had actually at one point, this is back in the mid 2015, somewhere around there, 2013. I guess it was. We were looking into the possibility of starting our own live streaming program. Live streaming service that would only be live streams. Now you can still record, but you would have to upload in real time. In other words, you'd have to play the video real time in a stream format. Everything would be live streaming. The biggest issue you have with that is server costs, and because of the storage of that is expensive. Now on Rumble, you can use, I think you have so much per month you can use in terms of storage, or almost the maximum you can have. So you have to delete some videos. They won't keep them on there all the time. Whereas YouTube, there's no limit. At least not that I've ever run into. But they've got Google behind them. You know, they got the whole network of servers that, you know, the World Wide Web. Now, speaking of all this stuff, I want to get into this little thing about Twitter. There's still some rumblings, if you will, going on about Twitter. And the whole Twitter thing is, what do they want me to do now? I'm not going to do that. No, thank you. Just going to go to my subscriptions and see what's going on. So I have, there's this big, you know, I don't know, all this stuff going on about TikTok. Now, I have to tell you, the issue here is that that TikTok has become this Chinese spy system where they're recording all your data. They're getting your bio information, your facial recognition, all the data that they're gathering on you, what you do and how you do everything. And you know, for marketing purposes, a lot of it is for marketing purposes. At least that's the guise that they do everything under. And then, of course, they also know our culture. They know how they can affect it. They can inject things into it, like misinformation. They can influence elections. They can influence our culture by, you know, injecting things into it. Just by knowing what our traits are, what our habits are. They can influence our children. Our children just love TikTok because it's like this, I don't even know what it is. I think I participated in somebody doing a TikTok thing one time a few years ago. And it was like I was like walking through an airport or through, they were doing this TikTok thing and I was in it somehow, I guess. I don't know. They played it backwards and had music and it was some kind of weird thing. I don't know. It was some people I was working with. It's like, what is that? Anyway, I don't even think I have an account on TikTok. Now, here's the problem with this. Now, you got all these politicians all up in arms about, oh, we got to ban TikTok from any federal government agency, any agency that shouldn't be allowed to use TikTok because TikTok is spying on us. The problem is here, folks, that Google has had this technology for much longer than TikTok has. And Google and other social media companies, Google's the most pervasive. But when you look at how one social media company, Twitter, was infiltrated by the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, a lot of different organizations. We know about the FBI. I guarantee you the CIA is involved as well. Now, here's the crazy part about this. Twitter is not the largest social media network platform on the planet. Facebook, YouTube, Google, and a myriad of others are just as dangerous. They are heavily involved as third-party agents to the deep state, if you want to call it that, the FBI, the CIA, all the bureaucrats, in collecting data. We are being spied on every day. I would imagine that there are transcripts of every single one of my shows on a hard drive someplace being stored in data storage facilities, because everything we do online is being stored. Everything. And this is not a tinfoil hat conspiracy idea. This is happening. They've admitted to it. They collect all data. All digitized data is being collected. Now, they supposedly they can't listen to it or look at it unless they have a warrant. They can collect it, they just can't look at it. Question is, who's curating it? Who's overseeing it? This is kind of like the Office of Public Records or whatever it is, the librarian who was all upset about Trump taking some documents down to Mar-a-Lago. Whatever happened to that? That just all kind of went away all of a sudden. Now, something weird happened this last week concerning that, which the J6 Commission all of a sudden withdrew their subpoena for Trump. Now, they may have withdrawn it because through back channels of information, they claim that they don't talk directly to, you know, they never talk to, they don't have any communication influence over what happens with the DOJ, with the AG, Merrick Garland. Now, they may have gotten word back through from some back channels that, don't worry, you don't have to subpoena him, you don't have to break precedence. See, here's the problem. When they do take action on this stuff, and they come up with these new rules, well, guess what? They set a precedence. And when they set this precedence, they have these issues of now the same thing can happen. Now that they've lost control of the House can now turn around and subpoena Joe Biden. I made the statement at the beginning of this thing that Joe Biden is a racist. He's, by his own definition, he's become a racist. Before when the first COVID outbreak started happening and Donald Trump was saying we need to, you know, limit travel and test everybody coming in from China, he was called a xenophobe. Joe Biden himself. I wish I could compile all of the words. It's Robert Gouveia did a really good job. I wish I could get into his mind maps. He's got there's got to be a way to find those on my map, whatever it is. And it's really good. His compilation of all this stuff has Joe Biden talking about how ridiculous he was. He overreacted by not limiting, you know, by limiting travel from China and from other countries. Now, what little known fact about China is that there's a lot of travel to Spain and to Italy. There's apparently 12, I didn't want to get into this right away, but there's apparently 12 different variants now in China. However, all those variants have already been seen in Italy. They've already been around, all the variants that are there. Most of the variants that are there, I should say. China's claiming 12 variants that they've spotted so far, all of which are along the Omicron BA, whatever it is, whatever number they're up to now. They come up with different designations based on whatever, you know, that's some kind of thing. So they do all this stuff. Now, getting back to this whole TikTok thing. You know, information is being gathered. Information is being curated and collected. And all they have to have is some kind of FISA court, some kind of secret court behind the scenes. And there's a FISA court that we know about. There might be other courts that we don't know about. Probably top secret judges that can allow certain things. Somebody made a really good comment yesterday. I think it was on Casey Hendricks. He's a local radio host here, talk radio. Happened to mention that they were throwing a fit over certain documents being publicly released. This whole thing with Hunter Biden laptop documents and nobody even talks about the diary. That was even a worse case, in my opinion. of the FBI stepping in where they didn't belong. Actually, it was the Secret Service stepped in on that one, which was just bizarre. That they would be. Why are they concerning themselves with someone's diary? It has some very damning information. Joe Biden's daughter, about her childhood growing up. Of course, they were coming after that because it was stolen. It wasn't stolen. It's like saying the laptop was stolen. The laptop wasn't stolen either. He forfeited that thing. Nobody stole it. It's this kind of corruption, this kind of double standard stuff that bothers me. Now, George Santos comes out and basically bristles at the idea that he should step down. And he worked really hard to be elected, and he should be elected, and just because he told a couple lies. The guy's unrepentant. All he does is turn around and say, well, the Democrats, look at Joe Biden, he lies more than I do. No, that's a child's reaction. That's a 10-year-old's reaction. Well, Bobby lies more than I do. It doesn't matter. Both of you lied. So I'm not talking about Bobby right now. I'm talking about you. You need to resign. You need to step down from position. Period. Put somebody else in there. We can't trust you. And I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. And he happens to be Republican. It's that kind of baloney that's got to go. The American people are tired of this stuff, tired of being lied to. And the Democrats have been the purveyors of this. They are, at 90% of the time, they twist reality. Or they would say, oh, so it's the Republicans who do that. No, it's not, really. Republicans do their fair share of twisting the narrative. Like right now, this whole narrative, the Republicans are all over Joe Biden going on vacation while the nation's having a transportation crisis, an airline crisis, or whatever it is. Well, there's nothing different that the president can't do for wherever he is than he can do in the White House. I don't have a problem with the guy taking a vacation. He's not ever really on vacation. Well, Joe Biden checked out a long time ago. Let's put it that way. But the president himself, the office, is never on vacation, regardless of where he is. In fact, he doesn't spend much time in the White House anyway. He spends all this time in this made-up set across the street. But we have this crazy thing going on here with this animosity towards TikTok, and nobody's mentioning the fact that Google does this stuff all the time. But that's okay, because that's for our security, right? Well, they're searching everything in case there's a terrorist among us around underneath that next bush over there. Well, it is absolutely nuts. So this whole crazy thing with all this, I call it faux or phony. F-A-U-X, faux, I call it phony, righteous indignation about certain things. In the meantime, they're, it's like straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. This is what Messiah talked about this to the Pharisees. You guys strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. In other words, you're eating camel meat, which was supposed to be this dirty meat that nobody would want to eat. It's tough. It's like eating horse meat kind of thing. You wouldn't eat a camel. You wouldn't eat camel meat. That's like the worst. That's like eating a rat. It's like eating rat meat and straining because there's a gnat in it. Oh, a gnat flew into my camel meat. I'm going to pick that out of there. This is what the Pharisees were doing. Straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. Straining at a gnat in your rat soup. That was the picture that he was trying to paint there. Look at what you're actually eating, let alone the little gnat that flew in there. Gnat's nothing compared to what you're eating. And that's kind of the mentality of some of our leaders right now.
well, we've got to spend this $40 billion. We've got to send over there because it's got to be a clean bill. Clean bill. It's got to be a clean bill. Excuse me, Mitch. All bills need to be clean. We need to get rid of this pork crap. And the bills need to be something that they refer to, they call it Freedom of Information Act. You know that's going to be taking away our freedom of information. Net neutrality did nothing to neutralize, did nothing to give us freedom on the internet. The Affordable Health Care Plan. Shortly after that, we saw our premiums go sky high. Nobody could afford it anymore. It was designed to crash the system so that they would have to come in with single payer. It was a way to get to single payer. They didn't want it to work. By design, it was supposed to do that. What we're seeing is mostly political theater, and mostly it is designed to do exactly what it's doing. So right now, there's this over 250 million people in the last 20 days have contracted COVID in China that they know of. That they're telling us about it. Now they claim that they supposedly relaxed the lockdowns because of protests. No, that's not why they relaxed it. The reason they relaxed it is because it was already out of control. The lockdowns weren't working, and it was out of control, and they knew that. The only way they could make this look like it was not their fault was to ease restrictions on the lockdowns, giving in to the protesters, and then blaming the protesters. Now they have someone else to blame, which is exactly what they're doing. Does it sound familiar to anything you've seen over here before? Keep the focus off of one thing, put it on something else. So here we have it. We have the whole situation, it all wrapped up in this whole thing. Now, look at what's happening with COVID right now. And of course, Joe Biden now has determined that we're going to test everybody coming from China. I think we're testing everybody from coming in from Italy and Spain as well. I think now all international travelers are going to be tested again. I would not be surprised if mask mandates come back. Now, I will push back on that one. I'm not probably ever going to wear a mask again. I'm not going to. If I choose to go into a doctor's office or need to go into a doctor's office or a hospital, I would wear one there. Just the general walking around town, especially outside. Not going to happen for me. That's stupid. Absolutely stupid. Indoors, if I'm going to be with somebody for more than 5 minutes, the mask comes off. Because that mask is not going to help at all. If you're in a closed room with somebody for more than 5 minutes, it's just not going to help. You're going to be breathing their air. There's nothing you can do about that. Even with the best ventilation on the planet. In fact, the ventilation on an airplane is much better, actually. It's just not effective. It is a charade. It gives people a false sense of security. The first thing Anthony Fauci came out and said was actually the truth. Came back later and said, well, you know, I had to say that to protect the frontline workers so that they could have masks. No, Anthony. The mask manufacturers got a hold of you and said, hey, you want a cut of this? You can promote this now. This guy's all about money. He's already been caught lying twice to us now about stuff like this for the sake of curbing or changing society. It's not your job. You don't treat us like children, sir. We're adults. This is how they look down at us that way, though. This is kind of the racism of low expectations. You've heard of that? Poor kids is just as smart and just as capable as white kids. Just exchange the word poor for a certain minority. That was Joe Biden's quote, by the way. Joe Biden was calling President Trump a xenophobe, a radical, crazy, taking crazy measures. This is the same guy who came back later and said, well, all he would have had to do is implement masks and he would have saved hundreds of thousands of lives. Really, Joe, is that the science? You're talking science to us now. Same thing with the racism, because now you're doing it. You're doing exactly the same thing that you called Trump a racist over. Just jumped right to that one, didn't you? When you have people coming out, Bernie Sanders, continually.
Oh, this president's a racist. He's a racist.
It's baloney. And the things that are still being said. President Trump never said, regardless of what you think of the guy, I don't care if you hate the guy. You need to understand, he never said, he never told anyone to inject bleach, to take bleach, to swallow bleach, to inject it into their bodies. He never said anything about that. He never said it. It was a news reporter who said it and got away with it for a while, and then retracted it quietly later. But you talk to most of the people on the left, and they think that that President Trump told everybody to inject bleach into their system. That's what they would get. That they get away with this. They don't come out and they retract it. They don't come out and say, "Well, we were wrong about this." Make sure he never really said that. There were fine people on both sides. Another quote from Trump. Also, he's racist. He thinks that there's fine people on the white supremacists. There's fine people who are white supremacists. Hey, you know what? Just because someone's a white supremacist does not make them a murderer. Does not make them a criminal. By the way, they're not. It's not a crime. It's not a crime to be a white supremacist. I totally disagree with their philosophy. It doesn't make them a criminal. Doesn't mean they should be expelled from society. Doesn't mean they can't be a productive member of society even. But the way they go after these people that they philosophically disagree with, it's frightening. The venom that's in there, it comes out of them. It's just amazing to me. It wasn't Lawrence O'Donnell. It was who's the other guy? He was on MSNBC for a while, lost his show, and now he's just on the internet now. I think he might be on another, what is that, Soviet thing. Anyway, he has a show, he still has a show, I think, on YouTube, I believe. He might have got kicked off there. But he was the one who came out and said, these people need to be removed from society. He was talking about the Sean Hannitys, the MAGA crowd, going through this whole thing, all the Republicans basically need to be taken away, separated from society, from normal society. He said eliminated from society. These are the words of the Nazi regime. You want to talk about fascism? You want to talk about Nazism and white supremacy, or any kind of supremacy for that matter? Those are the words that the fascists use, the despots. They don't even recognize it when it's coming out of their own mouth. But you know what? He has the right to have that opinion. It's not illegal until people start acting on it and start eliminating people from society. Then it's a problem. When you vilify and criminalize philosophy, you run into a really, it's a really difficult, tricky situation here. It's not healthy. It's not good. So as we look at this stuff, as we end this year, we need to take it's a good time sometimes to just take a step back and look at the big picture of things. The American people, by and large, at least the America that I know, wants everyone to receive proper health care. They don't want to see anyone suffer. They want to see everyone educated. They want to see everyone succeed in life. If I had my way, every single person out there would have their own business, be able to be productive in their own property, from their own home. In my perfect world, everyone would be independent. And have the ability to, I don't even like unions in this respect. I agree that sometimes unions are necessary, but only because big business has become so big and so manipulative. It's not capitalism per se. I like to call it open markets, free market, the free market economy. And if you want to call that capitalism, that's fine. But the problem with capitalism isn't just corporate, you know, CEOs. I've been a CEO of a small, as long as you have a sub-S corporation, you're a CEO. You can even have an LLC and be a CEO and call yourself whatever you want. All these CEOs, all these corporations. Most corporations are smaller than you think. They're less than $500,000 a year companies, way less. A lot of LLCs are less than $100,000 a year companies in terms of profit margin. Some of them are even gross profit, gross income is less than that. And yet they vilify everybody. They throw you all in the same tank. Now, free open market, open market, free market economy. So everyone has the right to negotiate at their own terms. I have products and goods and services. I can sell those. I can market those. I can take them out to the public. Public then decides what's it worth to them. I'm charging too much. Guess what? I won't get any customers. I have to reduce my prices. If there's too much competition, my prices have to go down. I have to be better than my competition. I have to offer more than my competition. This all benefits the consumer. Now, if I'm the only one who can provide a particular service, well, then good for me. Until somebody else comes along and starts doing it as well. But until I came along to offer that service, apparently everybody got along without it. And then all of a sudden it becomes essential. It becomes an essential service all of a sudden. Now we have to regulate it. Now the government has to step in. And then you have what's called crony capitalism. In other words, certain businesses, and this is where I was getting into this a little bit yesterday. When the taxation starts in, when you can tax a company almost into oblivion, to where you got almost all of their profit margin, now you can make decisions on who you want to give tax breaks to. Well, if you mandate a certain thing, we'll give you a tax break. We'll give you a free loan, a free grant to expand your business. We'll put the name of your business. In fact, we'll do business with you with government contracts. Because now you've complied with our demands. All because they have tax control over you. Taxation is control. It is a form of slavery. You become chattel to them. One of the big issues with the whole solar and wind power. The reason that they want to put solar and wind power farms in is because now they can sell you that power and it can still tax it and have control without you knowing about it. If you have your own solar panels and your own wind farm, all of a sudden you're off the grid. All of a sudden you can charge your own car and you're not paying wheel tax anymore at the pump. All those taxes that you're paying to buy a gallon of gas at the pump, all of a sudden you're not paying for those anymore. That's revenue being sucked out of the coffers of the politicians. All of a sudden, they've lost control of you. Now you're out driving around on public roads without paying taxes. So they have to do something else. Pete Buttigieg has already mentioned this. We're going to put meters in everybody's cars and tax you per mile. they know that they'll have to do this eventually because electricity can be generated from solar and wind. They can't tax that unless it comes from a farm. So they're running into this dilemma. What if everybody can charge their own cars at home and they use a natural gas generator or something else to do that? The regular power grid. We don't charge road tax for that. How are we going to make our money? All of a sudden, the budget goes downhill. Well, they have to charge that money from somebody because they're not going to. They never really give up taxes. Taxes don't usually go away. They just get bigger.
Well, we're only going to tax you 0.5%.
That's how the income tax initially got started. We're only going to charge you 0.25%. Not even a penny for every dollar that you earn. But once they got it in the door, once they got it approved, all they have to do then is start expanding it. Keep going. Make it larger. Well, we have to increase the tax to a penny now. 1% tax. It'll never go any larger than that. What are you paying now? 16? 20? Depending on how much you make. Yeah. This is where we're at this point. Now, as we do these this crazy flip-flopping that's going on, this isn't an election year now at this point. We have this little break in here where there's no election thing going on. So people can take a break. We got the border crisis going on. So Joe Biden decides to go south on the border. Oops, he missed the border there. He didn't stop at the border. I don't really care whether he goes to the border. He knows what's going on at the border. He doesn't have to go to the border to know what's going on at the border. And that's what just bugs me about people on the right, the pundits on the right. Just, he's never been to the border. I don't care. I really don't care if he goes to the border. We all know what's going on at the border. That's silly. Now, I think he should go to the border. If I was president, I would go down there and see it for my own eyes. Talk to the Border Patrol. See what we can do to stop this problem. What were we doing before this problem started, by the way? What did we change that all of a sudden made this? That's kind of like being a physician. It's like, you're going to start taking this medicine. Well, I just started taking that medicine, and a day later, I started vomiting profusely. Oh, well, that could be because you were taking this medicine. It's the only thing that you changed. Your diet's the same. Everything else is the same. Maybe it's this thing that we just changed. That's kind of the way that works. I don't think the Dems have figured this. Well, they know it. They know full well what's going on. They just know that their policy is what they have to implement at any cost. The deep state is heavily involved in social media, not just TikTok, not just Twitter, I should say. TikTok isn't the only foreign agency spying on you. However, I should say they're not the only agency spying on you. It shouldn't be acceptable either, whether it's internally or externally, foreign or domestic. But they will not stop. This is where we are now, folks. They are drunk on power. And unfortunately, I think that the brass ring has been grasped now. The noose is around our necks, and it's tight enough that we can't escape. And if we try to start tugging on it, it's only going to tighten it more. And that's very philosophically, there's a lot there I can unpack that I'm not going to on this show. It's the end of the year. It's time for reflection. And let's just look back at everything that's happened in the last year. It culminated from the last couple of years. I was just looking back at some pictures from early 2021. And the things that have happened over the last 2 years, like the difference between last year and this year. Now, at the end of 2021, we were still in a state of shock and confusion in a lot of ways. Over the previous year, but people were starting to kind of wake up a little bit. Having a chance to kind of step back and say, what have we done here the last 2 years? Now, we're rapidly approaching another time here. I think that there may be some variants that will come out of China that could be very, very hazardous or deadly. Could happen. I doubt it. It could happen. I think China is going to go through a very tough time. You consider the numbers of people who are getting COVID, how fast it's spreading. Now, it's a very dense populated area, nation, over 1 billion people. And I believe that, you know, as the travelers and things start happening, I think the whole country at some point is going to be exposed. The number of deaths probably will not be as great as what we experienced here because the Omicron variant is not nearly as deadly as the Delta virus was, Delta variant. So we'll see how this all pans out. I believe that this, our country, I'm sure, is our politicians are going to try to, they're already trying to get us to mask up again. Some places on the West Coast, I know, have already started doing this again. And of course, the vaccines are still pushing the vaccines. I played Klaus Schwab yesterday and his concern that everyone, no one is safe until everyone is vaccinated. No one is safe until everyone is vaccinated. If there's even just a half a dozen people out there that aren't vaccinated, well, guess what? Nobody's safe as long as those are among us that aren't vaccinated. Vilifying the people who aren't vaccinated. It's their fault. Now, once we got everybody vaccinated, now we're all safe. Oh, no, you're not. There are some things that are coming out, interestingly enough, about the mRNA vaccines. I believe that will continue to come out. And I'm not going to say any more about it. I think that we're going to discover some interesting things over the next couple of years. Actually, this year, probably, this upcoming year. It will stop them. It will not stop them. They are on this bent. They are in a state of, in my opinion, delusion and derangement over so many things. Now, as this year starts to ramp up, we have this year to look forward to. As I look into 2023, I see another media ramping up its rhetoric. Now, DeSantis and supposedly DeSantis and Trump are on in a headlong collision for each other. I don't see it happening. I don't know that DeSantis is going to run. I don't think he will. Now, let me put it this way. If Trump doesn't run, or if DeSantis happens to win the primary, I think we'll be just fine. I'm not going to go after either one of them at this point. I don't have a problem with either one of them. Trump, I think, has a harder time communicating because of the way he speaks. I think he has a harder time communicating than does DeSantis. However, DeSantis will be vilified just as much or more as Trump ever was. Pete Buttigieg, when Trump was in office and they were talking about, well, here's where I am with Mike Pence. Look back to what was going on with Trump during the whole thing with the impeachment process that they were going through. They tried to impeach him a couple times. They didn't impeach him once, I guess. They went after him again with J6. Mike Pence was very quiet during this whole time because Mike Pence was wringing his hands, salivating at the idea that if they get rid of Trump, I'll be president. There was this quietness about Pence that really disturbed me. They were committing crimes, telling lies about Trump, spying on him, and we didn't hear much from Pence about that whole thing. There wasn't much indignation about it because it didn't affect it. All he could think of was his own political career. I think that's what it boils down to with Pence, in my opinion. It's about him and his political career. Now, he can all day think that he's the best thing for this country and the best thing this country could have. That's good for him. But I don't like the fact that he's not willing to stand up for what's right in a vocal way in that respect, unless it concerns him politically. He's coming out now trying to be all presidential. Now, I hearken back to the words that, guess who, Pete Buttigieg said, because there was this relationship between Pete Buttigieg and Mike Pence when Mike Pence was the governor of Indiana and Pete Buttigieg was the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, one of our larger cities in this state. When he was asked point blank, he said, "So will you be glad if Trump is out, if Pence steps in, will you think it'll be better?" "Oh, no. No," he said. "It'll be worse. Pence is even worse than Trump." I don't know how you can get much worse than Trump. I thought Trump was the embodiment of evil itself, according to them. But now all of a sudden you have Pete Buttigieg saying he's worse. See, it doesn't matter. As long as they got an R behind their name, they are the villain. They are what's wrong with the entire world. That's just their mentality. That's just where they're at. They can't see for themselves their own issues, their own problems. The left has become unhinged, and unfortunately, the right wing of the party of the GOP, the establishment party, it has turned a blind eye to this. They're this the same side of the same coin. It's a uniparty. It really is a uniparty. When you have Mitch McConnell voting more than 50% of the time with all of Joe Biden's policies, well, now yeah, you got a problem. So what I see for the year of 2023, I think we are facing some very important dilemmas in 2023. Who will align by the end of the year to become the nominee for the 2024 election for president? I think that this process is going to cause a great deal of turmoil on both sides of the aisle. You have people like Liz Cheney, who's being patted on the head by people on the left saying, "Oh, you'd be a good presidential material." They would never vote for Cheney. Never. Now, frankly, we want to talk about, now you have to understand, the former Hawaiian congresswoman, Tulsi Gabbard, who ran for president on the Democrat side, who has left the Democrat Party, is now an independent. Frankly, would I vote for her over Trump? No. DeSantis, no. Pence, maybe. I doubt it. But I would certainly vote for her over Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or just about anybody else that the left would put up on their platform. She's going to have a very difficult time if she runs for president. And personally, I think she is positioning herself for another presidential run, but I have no idea who she's going to caucus with. I don't know. She's going to run as an independent. That's going to be difficult. I don't think she can run as a Republican. However, she is a old traditional, I would say traditional Democrat, what I would call a JFK Democrat. That's why the party has rejected her so badly. Hillary Clinton has called her a Russian agent. Talk about a Russian agent. So I don't know exactly how that's going to pan out for her, but I'm sure she's trying to position herself for another political appointment. Now, having said that, would she be a better president than we have right now? Absolutely. I believe she would be. I don't know how much she would be swayed and persuaded by the radical leftists, the squad, all those people that are the radical socialists. But I believe she would definitely be a better president. Of course, the left still thinks that Bill Clinton was just one of the best presidents we've ever had. Look at that guy. Oh, he's a great guy. Oh, he's such a marvelous guy. Bill Clinton was a rapist. There were credible charges against Joe Biden for rape that he has locked away in the archives that he will not allow to be. You will not see them until after he's dead. You cannot publicly. We cannot get to those archives until after. You talk about classified information, keeping things from the American people. They're all over Donald Trump for that. Some librarian who thinks that they've got curating power of the, over the presidency. I'll throw the guy in jail because he has documents. He's the head of security. It's crazy. It's insanity. It's just, it's derangement. And they're not over it, folks. We're going to see more of it. I think that a lot of people woke up to this whole thing. There are a lot of people who have left the Democrat Party because of the craziness that they're seeing. So we'll see what happens in the next year, but I do believe we're going to see a lot of turmoil, a lot of craziness continue, and I think there's going to be a great upswell. Personally, I think that Trump is the only person, because he's been on the inside, he's the only person who can go back and take care of unfinished business. I think he's the only one who can do that. However, at the same time, I don't know who they're going to put up against him. I don't know what kind of shenanigans they're going to pull. We've got to get this voting situation straightened out. Because right now, they've got the upper hand on that. No question about it. I think people are also getting tired of that as well, seeing what they're seeing. So folks, this is probably going to be the last show of the year, the 501st episode. Now, I may have a show on Sunday. I most likely will have a show on Monday, which will be, of course, January 2nd. I might even have a show tomorrow night. I might stay up and just do a New Year's Eastern Standard Time live broadcast. We'll see what happens with that. Can't ever guarantee anything. This is not in my life. I want to thank you, though, folks, for listening, for subscribing, for the growth that I've seen. We've almost doubled our listenership this year. Actually, more than doubled it on a regular basis. The average listenership has more than doubled. And I wasn't even really doing shows there for a little while very, very regularly. So I do want to thank everybody for doing that, for liking, sharing, subscribing, posting it on your social media. If you agree with what I'm talking about, or if you don't, it's fine, too. You say, hey, this guy's crazy. Listen to him. He's saying this wacky stuff. That's fine, too. We'll have a discussion. That's what we do. We're human beings. We can have those kinds of discussions in this country. God bless everybody. Have a great 2023.